The hood. Every time we drive into Great Brack, we sing that song, Welcome to the Hood. You know that one? But it's going to be so good to be here, and we can't wait. The traveling up and down is okay, but it's not ideal, hey? But what I felt this afternoon, I really felt to carry on a little bit of from what I spoke about last week. And if you'll remember, I shared that Monet had felt at the eldest time that there were three things as the congregation of Josh Gen that we need, values that we really needed to get back to, the old ways of doing things. And last week, we just to give a little bit of a recap, we spoke about the need for the presence of God in each of our lives, and how He loves it when we seek Him, when we get up early in the morning. And we seek His face, and we read the Word, and how important it is for us to allow the Word to read us, and to look into our hearts and see, you know, what's going on inside me. Hebrews 4:12 speaks about the Word being sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Nothing is hidden from Him, it says, to whom we must give an account. And each one of us is going to have to give an account for the condition of our hearts. And so then also that we need to walk in obedience. You'll remember we spoke about obedience being the key to the presence of God. It's the currency of the kingdom of the presence of God. And it's obedience to not only the Word, but also to the quickening of the Holy Spirit. As He illuminates the Word to us, we need to be a people marked by the presence of God. And then we'll be like the fountains that so many of the prophetic words that have come through for this plant, that there will be fountains in Great Brack, and we'll be part of that fountain. And so this evening I wanted to continue and speak a little bit into another one of the values that is very highly held in Josh Gen, and that is that we are a priesthood of believers. And what Ilza shared was so important, that it's not only what we hear, but it's what we do. We need to be the church, and so it's the way we live. And just to give a bit of a background. As I start off, the church was born in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, if you'll remember. Can you remember what happened in Acts chapter 2? Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. And this was what was prophesied in the book of Joel. Joel said that in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Young men will see dreams, old men will see visions, but I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And we read in chapter 1 that Jesus actually, just before He ascended into heaven, He commanded the apostles to remain in the upper room, or in a room, and to wait for the promise of the Father. And I don't know how long they waited. I think they waited probably quite a while, but no one knows really how long they waited. But they waited and they prayed earnestly together with one heart. And then the day of Pentecost came. And the Spirit of God was poured out on them. And it was like there was a mighty rushing wind that came in. And it appeared like tongues of fire on each of them. And they started speaking in other languages. And they spilled out into the streets. And there were people in the streets that heard them. And there were men from all around different regions. And they heard them in their own language as they were proclaiming the gospel. Isn't that incredible? That's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus said, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so Peter gets up, and he has to kind of explain to the crowds what's going on. These people look like they're drunk. And he gets up and he explains that they are not. They're indeed filled with the Holy Spirit. This was prophesied by the book of Joel, and he explains it. And then Peter gets up and he preaches the first evangelistic message about Jesus and all that had taken place. And many of these people that he's preaching to were there. They were witnesses. They saw it happen. And 3,000 people get added to the church in one day. Incredible. The Holy Spirit working. And these people became part of what was known as the Way. The church was known as the Way. And if you were part of the Way, you had a target on your back because there was persecution. And they had to go through persecution. But here we are today in Great Brack, planting a new church because of the power of the Holy Spirit in those men. Here we stand today. And this is the incredible thing about the church. This is the incredible thing that Paul speaks is the mystery of the church. And let me just get my place here. Paul describes that in Ephesians chapter 2 and 3. He speaks about the mystery of the church and how he was called to preach to the Gentiles. God came in the Old Testament and he brought his people through, but he wanted all of us to be saved. And so he released Paul to preach to the Gentiles. And then I just want to say that when the Holy Spirit comes, and when he was poured out at Pentecost, and ever since, he's responsible for giving gifts to men. He gives gifts to you and I. And you'll know, some of us have got gifts of prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 12, he speaks about these things. The prophet prophesies, leading, serving. I'm just going to quickly run through them. Teachers, teaching, encouraging, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, working of miracles. We saw it this morning. Although, yeah, that's incredible. Oh, this afternoon, sorry. I'm still trying to get around that one. My whole mind has to shift. Administration, gifts of administration, gifts of healing, discernment of evil spirits, speaking in tongues, interpreting of tongues. Gifts of exceptional faith. Do you want a gift of exceptional faith? Gifts of giving, gifts of being compassionate, gifts of the apostolic and of the pastoral gifts and evangelistic. These are all gifts that the Holy Spirit gave and has been giving to you and I since Pentecost. And so what does it mean that we are a priesthood of believers? Just think about that for a minute. And I want to turn to a passage of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. You can turn there with me. 1 Peter 2, verse 4 and 5. He's speaking about the chosen stone and his chosen people. He says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. He's speaking about Jesus. And he says this. He says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are called and we are precious. And we are living stones. And we are being built up. He is building us up into a spiritual house. What's another word for a spiritual house? A church, yeah. A temple. If you reflect back to the Old Testament, we are being built up into a temple. As much as Israel had a temple, Christians also have one. But it's spiritual. God does the building. But we do the job of offering sacrifices that are pleasing to Him. We need to be offering sacrifices pleasing to Him. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, brethren, because of God's mercies. Romans 11 speaks all about the redemptive plan that God set out through His Son Jesus, the spotless Lamb that would be sacrificed for us. But it's in view of God's mercies. It's because of His mercy, only because of His mercy, that we can come and offer our lives as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to Him. Because this, it says, is our spiritual act of worship. Are we offering our lives as living sacrifices to Him. And I want to ask the question, in the view of that, what does my worship look like? Because this is my spiritual act of worship, offering my life as a living sacrifice, laying down my life. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" You see, God sees each and every one of us as part of His priesthood. Each one, we all have a part to play in reflecting His glory. I love it when, I think it's Andrew that always says that if you don't bring your part, then there's a piece missing of, then the church isn't completely reflecting God's glory. And that's so true. Each one of us needs to bring our part and play a role in reflecting His glory. And then we do that in the way that we live, in the way that we serve Him, and we are to serve for God's glory. And I want to read another chapter, a verse in 1 Peter, if you'd turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, just a couple of pages over, where he speaks about serving for God's glory. In verse 7 he says, "But the end of all things is at hand." Do you think that's kind of getting close to where we're at now, eh? There will be wars and rumors of wars in the end. "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." Be serious and watchful in your prayers. Are we being serious and watchful in our prayers? And then it says this, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins." We need to have love for one another. We serve each other through love. And then it's in verse 9, it says, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." Is hospitality, is that a tough thing? Because he says without grumbling. I think it's a joy to host people. I love hosting people. I love having people in our home. But it's an important value as a church that we need to open up our homes and create safe spaces for people to become known, for God to see them, for them to be seen, and for them to be loved. And so hospitality, open your home so that you can do that. Create a place for people to be seen, known, and loved. And then it says in verse 10, it says, each one has received a gift." We spoke about the gifts. "Minister it to one another." Have you received a gift? Has God given you a gift? We need to minister to one another. And then it says this, "As good stewards of the manifold grace of God." We need to be good stewards of His grace. And He, through His grace, has given us these gifts, and we need to use them. We need to, as Ilse said, we need to not only listen, but we need to start acting on these things and stepping into them. As Ulrich did this afternoon, he stepped out by faith and came and stood at the front during the worship, and God healed him. God touched him, but he needed to move. He needed to obey, and that's what we need to do. And then in verse 11, it says, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God." That's quite a thing to say. In other words, when you're driving your car and a taxi pulls in front of you tomorrow, are you going to speak the oracles of God? Bless you, brother. Hey, man, go for it. I'm not in a hurry. It's all these little things. When your wife or your kids or you have a disagreement, are you going to speak the oracles of God? Or are you going to speak what comes out of your heart, which is anger and all those things? We need to speak what God wants us to speak, the love that we have. "If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies." God gives us the ability to minister to one another. "And in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ." We want God to get the glory for everything. "To whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, there's some good handles in there. I think if I think back to COVID, can you guys remember church and COVID? It was a weird time. It was one person standing on the stage and only one person was allowed to sing. I mean, really? That was crazy. I remember Mish. She was the only one that was allowed to sing without a mask. Everyone else, I mean, it was just mad. But one thing COVID taught us is that we need each other. It was a very kind of lonely time and a time where the world just went crazy, I think. But we need each other. Ephesians 4, 12 and 13 speaks about equipping the saints. And it says that he gave apostles, teachers, prophets, evangelists, and pastors to equip the saints for the working of the work of the ministry. That means that the saints are to do the work of the ministry. That means that each one of us is called to do the work of the ministry. That means that it's not just John and I, my responsibility. It's every one of us. So when we need people to be prayed for in the front, I want to. Who's going to be here to pray? All of us. We need to start stepping into these things because God's given some of you a gift of faith and a gift of healing and a gift of prophecy and a gift of tongues and interpretation. We need to start stepping into these things. Why? Till we all come to unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. That's going to be, we're not all there yet, but we want to be there. Unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We'll get there one day when we meet him face to face. But we're on a process, on a journey, each one of us. And I believe it's God wants each one of us to step into more. He wants each one of us to grow in our faith. He wants each one of us to be ministering and a minister and a priest, as he's called us to be priests. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul mentions there that we are all one body, yet every member has its own work by which it serves the others. And this diversity of gifts and ministries and activities is given for the profit of all in the church. The same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. But then it says in verse 31, it says, earnestly desire the best gifts. What are the best gifts? John actually spoke about it earlier. Prophecy. We need to desire to prophesy. Because when we speak in our tongues, no one can understand. But when we prophesy over somebody, we speak life. We speak the very words of God. And so we need to desire the better gifts. Peter reminds his readers in 1 Peter 2, 9. Let me just turn back a page or two. He reminds his readers that we are a chosen race. You are a chosen race. God chose each one of us. You know that? He chose each one of us. For those of us that have joined the plant from different congregations, you didn't decide to come here because it was closer and you didn't have to drive so far anymore. And you've been paying the price for the last 4 or 5 years to go all the way to Mossel Bay or all the way to George. No. God chose you and you felt God sent you here. And you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. We're a royal priesthood. In the Old Testament, there was such a disparity between the kings and the priests. But we're both. We're kings and priests. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Why? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isn't Jesus amazing? We sang that song, Jesus, the gospel of God, good news to my heart, good news to the world. We can proclaim the excellencies of our God. who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I love there's a passage in Revelation chapter 5 where the 24 elders and the four living creatures are singing a song. And as part of that song, they declare the redemptive work of Jesus. And they say this, that his people are a kingdom. Jesus has made his people a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. These same words were spoken over the Israelites in Exodus 19, a kingdom of priests before our God. So just a few thoughts then on priesthood. First thing is, we're all called to minister to the Lord and to each other. We're all called. Hebrews 3, and I want to just go here because this is so incredible. It speaks about the Son being faithful. Speaking about Jesus, it says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling." Are you a holy brethren from what we've just read? We're holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus. Consider him who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. Jesus was faithful and so was Moses. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Jesus, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in his house as a servant, for a testimony to those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast to the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end. I love that piece of scripture because he was faithful. Moses was faithful. And Jesus is building his house. So we're all called to minister. We're all called to go and make disciples of all nations, according to Matthew 28. And we know that passage. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're all called. Are we? Are you called to go and preach the gospel? That means that you need to go and pray for your neighbors. Need to start speaking to your neighbors and preaching to your neighbors and sharing the gospel with your neighbors and those in the streets. Just not with a loud hailer, please. Those guys are weird. God gives gifts through his Spirit for the equipping of the saints. And so when the fivefold ministry guys come into town, we need to be devoted and come and sit under their ministry. There's something about when the apostolic comes into the church and preaches, it just shifts us into another dimension. And so as a church, I want to encourage us, really encourage us to devote ourselves. When any of the apostolic guys come in, let's be committed, come and sit under their ministries. And then we need to desire and discover and develop the spiritual gifts. And John so well said that in community, this is the best place to kind of test these things out, to step into them, because that's the safe place. No one's going to go, you know, oh, this guy's weird, or he's doing this again, or, you know. If your heart is to serve and to love and to minister, then that's a good place to start. And so we need to desire and discover those gifts. And then the last thing is that everything we do needs to be done in love. And Paul goes on after 1 Corinthians 12 to 1 Corinthians 13, where he speaks about love needs to be the foundation of everything. Otherwise, we're just a clanging cymbal or the beating of a drum. We're just a sound. So, with that, practically, how do we know what God wants us to do? How do we walk in these gifts that God has put into the church? And I want to make this as practical as possible. Number one, we need to ask God to send his Spirit to help us and to guide us in this journey. We need to ask the Holy Spirit. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? How can I serve you in the church? And are there things that I can step into? Are there gifts that you want to give me and that I can desire? We need to immerse ourselves in prayer and ask the Lord what we can do. Then secondly, we need to explore how God has wired us. You know that? Sometimes we're wired in such a way that God can use the way we are to build faith in others. But don't let that be a restriction, because some of us are quiet. I'm a very shy guy, actually. I don't like standing up front. But I love it now, because I do it. Because I want to step into what God has for me. I want to step out in faith. And so a quiet nature is not a restriction. Allow God to break you out of that thing and use you for His glory. What are your passions? What are the things that light you up? What makes you excited? For some people, it's riding a motorbike. Then you get on your motorbike and you go and do motocross with a bunch of guys, or you go and minister wherever you can. You know, you go and touch those areas. For some of us, it might be music. It might be whatever. God will use anything that is a passion that He can use, things that light you up, that is something that really excites you. Then the next thing is, what is your reputation? In other words, what do others see in you? And so you need to actually ask the Lord who you can go and ask to just look into your life and say, yeah, I see this in you, or I see that in you. Ask God to show them what they see so that you can start stepping into those things. What are your interests? What intrigues you? What have you seen that you think you would love to do? And that can be anything. God can use us in any of these areas. And then what experience have you had? You may have been in kids' church in another congregation, or you may have prophesied, or you may have done all these things. Allow God to use you in those things. And then talents. Talents isn't a prerequisite, but God can use them. And so some of us have got talents. God has given us musical talents, singing talents, serving talents, giving, all these things. We need to use them. And then I would say, go and write them down and prayerfully ask the Lord to show you how He wants to use you. I want to close just with a couple of scriptures, but firstly a story that I heard someone share, and it was about, they had gone to in Cape Town there was an exhibition of a car collection of one of the wealthy South Africans, Johann Rupert. How many of you know him? I've heard of him. Okay, so he's got a lot of money, and there was this collection of about 80 cars, but his entire collection is probably about 250 cars worth, and this is his estimated net worth is £10 billion. Do you know how many noughts that is in rands? I had to go and work it out, and I was like, what's his name? Jacob Zuma. It's like 49,825, 3 and 4. You know, like it was just too much to read. This number, 228,000 million rand, something like that. That's a lot, eh? 1,000 million, huh? Yeah, listen carefully. 223,000 million rand. That's a lot of money. That's his net worth. Anyway, so there were all these 80 cars and amazing cars, from Aston Martins to Ferraris to Lamborghinis to Bugattis to the whole bang shoot. All these fancy cars. But the sad thing is that these cars were all parked in a warehouse, and they were just washed and put away and never driven. Isn't that sad? I love sound of a car. That's why I love Formula One, because I love the high pitch of those high-tech Formula One engines. You know, they scream. I love that. But these cars, they never get driven. And I think it's like that with us in the church. So often we are these sports cars. God's got so much for you, but you're parked in a garage or you're parked in a warehouse. God wants you to get out and drive. Let the engine of your life start resounding through Great Breck so that the lost can come in and so that people can get saved. And I want to end with just two passages of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. We read up till verse 6, but we're going to skip a little bit. He says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily." This is also what it means to be a minister. We need to exhort one another daily, walk alongside one another, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And we saw it in this week as we looked at the chat and all those things, that sin is crouching at the door, especially for our young people and even for us through the internet and through so many things. "Lest there be any of you hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." There needs to be a continuousness of our faith. It's not just a one-time experience. We need to be walking and living out our faith daily. It's an ongoing experience. And then I love this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. It says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." And then it says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." This is part of us being a priesthood, a royal priesthood. "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." We need to stir one another up to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. And we see the day approaching. Every day, I believe we're getting closer and closer to the Lord coming back. And I want to just leave that with us, that we exhort one another to love and good works and hold fast the confession of our faith. What is the confession of your faith? Jesus Christ is Lord. Is he Lord of your life? Is he Lord of all of your life? Every part of you? That's the confession of our faith. He's the hope. He's the hope of glory, the Scripture says. And so I want to ask as we close, you might say, and won't you stand with me? Let's stand together as we close in prayer. And just, you might say to me this afternoon, "I don't have anything to offer." And the truth of the matter is, you don't have anything to offer. But Jesus has everything to offer, and God has everything to offer. He offered his son for you. And so you need to step out in faith and put your feet in the water. There's an invitation to us. Ezekiel speaks about the river and the banks and the knee deep, the waist deep, the shoulder deep. The invitation is for us to step into the water. Step out in faith. Even if it's scary, because he is with us. And you will see what God can do through you. Through you. Through each one of us. God wants to use each one of us. Won't you by faith, maybe just put out your hands as a sign that you want to step into more of what God has for you. And Lord, and we stand all together as this priesthood of believers, offering our lives to Jesus and for the service of the King. And that will involve desiring the gifts. But we always need to be rooted in love. And Lord, I want to pray for us this afternoon that you will help us to step into more of what you have for us, Lord. Lord, you've called each one of us. We are all called. We're all part of the ecclesia, the called out ones. We're called out of the world, but we're called to something. We're called to lay down our lives for you and for your kingdom, for your glory. And Lord, we want to be a reflection of who you are. And without every single one of us, we cannot function as the body of Christ completely. Without the finger, or without the knee, or without the ear, or without the nose, we won't function correctly. But thank you, Lord, that you are the head and that we are growing in our faith into you, Lord. That one day we will reach maturity. We will reach that perfect man when we stand face to face with you. And so I want to pray, Lord, that you will help us to stir one another up into love and good works, Lord, because we have been called for good works. Works that you predetermined before the world began, Lord, your word says. Help us, Lord, to be obedient. Help us not to just hear, but to do, Lord. And so we stand here today, Lord, with our hands outstretched because we want to be your priesthood, Lord. We want to be the ones who minister to you on a Sunday as we come into this place. And we want to minister to one another, Lord. And we want to minister to the lost. We want to reach those that have never heard the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're here this afternoon and you have never asked the Lord into your life, if you've never been born again, the Bible says that you need to be born again to inherit the kingdom of God. That all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark. And you've never given your heart to Jesus. You've never asked Him to come and live inside of you. He sacrificially died for you and took your sin. The scripture says the Father put your sin and mine on His body on the cross. And He paid the price. He redeemed you. And if you've never given your heart to Jesus, I'd love to pray with you. And this is between you and Him. I want to ask if that's you, won't you come and speak to me afterwards? Or speak to John or any of the elders' wives at the front afterwards, that we can pray for you and lead you to Jesus. So Lord, we thank you for this afternoon. Thank you that we have the privilege to serve you. We have the privilege, Lord, to be your body, to be your bride, to be your church. This is the mystery. And what a privilege to be part of what you're doing, Lord. I just pray a blessing on each one of us, Lord, as we fellowship and as we just enjoy a time of fellowship and coffee together and as we go from here, Lord. Pray your protection upon each one of us this week until we come again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
So just before you go, don't forget community on Wednesday night. If you don't know which community to go to, please come and chat to us. We can show you who the guys are. And for those communities, I encourage you to share life stories, but not how bad you were, how good God was to you in that time and just how you came to salvation. Wouldn't it be cool if we all knew exactly how we all came to salvation? And so I encourage you. So apparently it's Charles's birthday tomorrow, 45 years old. Trevor's is on Saturday. He's 60. And Denise? Wednesday. Party at their community. You can all take cake. And don't run away. We'd love to connect with you guys. I'm sure there's still coffee.
I think there's still coffee.
I'm sure there's still coffee. But don't run away. We'd love to get to know you all. Cheers.
Just want to say thanks so much to Josh, who came and did sound for us from George A.M. George A.M. And it's good to have Sam Jam with us from Cape Town. Who else is visiting from outside of here? You guys are from Mosselbay P.M. You guys are from P.M. I see Steve's away, so all the PMers are here. Anybody else? Oh, lekker, guys. Have a good week and enjoy some coffee together.
Seasons and sky, you have always been holding my life. And Lord, you are the shepherd of my soul. So I lay down my plans, I give up my rights, let you take control of the surrendered life. In the one who created the stars and the sun. Oh, you are eternally kind, always faithful and endlessly wise. Lord, you are the shepherd of my soul. So I lay down plans, I give up my rights, let you take control of the surrendered life. And Lord, you are the shepherd of my soul. So I lay down my plans, I give up my rights, let you take control of the surrendered life. You sustain, in shaking you remain, unmoved and unafraid, forever and always you lead me, by still waters lead me, through the valleys lead me, in your wisdom shepherd of my soul. You comfort, you sustain, in shaking you remain, unmoved and unafraid, forever and always you lead me, by still waters lead me, through the valleys lead me, in your wisdom shepherd of my soul. Though the earth